Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to talk about daily bread and how God provides, but to get there, I want to show a clip from one of my favorite movies. The movie is The Terminal. Maybe you saw this movie. It was produced back in 2004, and to set the stage for this clip that I'm going to show, I want to give the backstory here. Victor is in trouble. He's the main character in the movie The Terminal, and he's played by Tom Hanks. Now, here is why he's in trouble. He's stuck at New York's Kennedy Airport. You see, the country that he's come from, the government has been overthrown, and because that has happened, he cannot get permission to enter the United States, so he's stuck in the terminal. While all those details are trying to figure themselves out, he can't go anywhere, and he has to go place to place in the terminal. He doesn't have a lot of money, doesn't have a lot of resources, so he needs to be creative just to survive as he lives in the terminal. So there you go. That leads us up to this part in the movie. Go ahead and see how creative he gets in finding daily bread.
Excuse me, buddy.
Zaworski. He's figured out the quarters.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Burger King. May I take your order?
Keep the change.
I can picture a few of you trying, you being that determined to push kids off carts to get a Whopper. John, I can see you doing that. Dear friends, I actually think that little clip there, getting daily bread just to get by, actually relates very well with this crowd that we find in Matthew chapter 14. You see, they too are in no man's land. They're lost in a deserted place. Let's get the details here of Matthew chapter 14. Jesus goes across the Sea of Galilee. It's not a large body of water. And he goes across because the crowds have been so big and out of control, he wants to go to a desolate place so he can be alone. Somehow, some of the people in the towns on the other side of the lake hear about the location that he's going, and they don't go across by boat, but they walk around the lake to find Jesus. They want to be with him, and for a day they're with him. Jesus teaches. Jesus heals those who have illnesses that are brought to him. And at the end of the day, it's about time for dinner and the main meal in the Jewish culture. And at that time, the disciples look around and they see that there isn't a Burger King. And there isn't the ability to turn carts in to get quarters shooting out at you. See, in that way, this crowd in Matthew chapter 14 is way behind Victor. They've got some severe disadvantages here. No Burger King, no cart return. But here's the advantage this crowd has. Friends, at the end of this day, they could tell with 100% certainty, Victor couldn't, with 100% certainty who it was that provided their daily bread, their food that they needed to get by, their sustenance. Here are the details of this text. Maybe you caught them, but I think they're important and they're here for a purpose. The large crowd that gathered there was 5,000 men. Now, actually, the crowd was probably 9 to 10,000. That's how large, because this is women and children were not included in that number, the 5,000. Large grouping of people, and as they show up, all they have are just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. John's gospel tells us the details I shared in my children's message. That is, Andrew saw the boy with this lunch. That's all they have. And at the end of the day, the words that are used to describe this crowd is that they ate and were satisfied. The word for satisfied means filled. Same word that means filled. And they had enough baskets left over to fill up 12 of those baskets. Once again, this is a detail-oriented text. I need to relate this. 12 is a significant number because that's the number of being filled. It's the fullness, the 12 disciples, the 12 tribes of Israel. And at the end of the day, see, this crowd had a major advantage over Victor in the movie. They could all point and say, this is the guy right here that provides my daily bread. One little extra detail here, check it out. John chapter 6, verse 15. The text says in John 6, 15 that the crowd was so amazed by Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 that they were wanting to crown him king right there at the moment. No doubt, he was the man, he was the guy that was going to supply everything that this large crowd needed. We're gathered here this morning not to talk about Victor. We're not here to talk about that crowd in Matthew chapter 14. Friends, we're here to talk about you. Do you recognize where your daily bread, your food, comes from? We so oftentimes forget, don't we? We forget to be thankful and grateful for what God provides each day of our life. This is a true story. It's about an elderly man. That each day of his life, he lived high up on a hill, and he walked down a stone path down to the grocery store in the village. And in that grocery store, he bought enough groceries each day to get by. Every day he did this. For 88 years, this man endured everything. He endured war, famine, hardship, disappointment. He lived in Germany. He lived through the horrors of World War II. He lived through the Russian occupation in eastern Germany, where there was severe hardship. He lived through days in which he could barely get by. But friends, every day he made his trek down to the store to get his bread and food to just get by for that day. He made that trip each day of his life. And then 1989 came. And in 1989, he got the reunion with his grandchildren. His grandchildren were in West Germany. He was in East Germany. When the country came together and was unified, the grandchildren came and paid a tribute to their grandfather, came to where he lived. And these grandchildren were technically savvy. This is in 1989. And some of you who are grandparents, you know how this works. When your grandchildren come in, they say, "You're so behind the times." And that's what these grandchildren did. They saw their grandfather and they said, "We love you, but you know what? We're going to buy you a refrigerator. That way you don't have to walk every single day down to the store and buy bread. In fact, you can just go once a week and you can put everything in the refrigerator. It'll improve your life so much," the grandchildren told this elderly grandfather. "It's going to be great." So the grandfather was gracious and loved the gift that his grandchildren gave them, the technically advanced grandchildren, so into technology, I should say. But when they left, he took the refrigerator out of his room and he put it out on his porch so that it could become a flower planter. You see, here's the point. For that grandfather, that walk was not a nuisance. It was time for prayer. It was time to walk. And it was time to give acknowledgement to the God who provided for him each day of his life. Here at Peace Lutheran Church, we do this too. We say the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day my daily bread. I feel bad for churches that don't say that prayer. Give us this day my daily bread. I can't make it on my own. Lord, I need what you give me. It's said here in the worship service every Sunday. It's said in the woman's Bible study, the group, eat, chat, and pray. They do more than eat and chat. They pray the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And it's said when we make visits amongst our members and we speak that prayer with one another, and what we're saying when we say that prayer is this. We want to be like that elderly man in that walk. We want to stop and recognize the gifts that God gives us and how he multiplies and provides for us through his Son, Jesus. This last week, I heard a really encouraging statistic about saying grace at home. Maybe you saw this statistic. It's from a reliable source. Americans today say grace still at very high levels before they eat a meal. The report was that 53% of Americans still say grace before they eat a meal. And the study concluded by saying this, perhaps there is nothing else in our country that unites us more than this, whether you're from the north or the south, whether you're urban or rural, whether you're Republican or Democrat, we recognize God gives us what we need to survive. And it's a recognition in that moment that we are not self-sufficient, but God provides and multiplies. When I was in seminary, I had an interesting experience, and maybe you've experienced this before with other families that you've prayed before a meal. But I was living for about 3 months with a very famous professor in the Lutheran Church, and lived with him and ate every meal with him. And it was like having family dinner like any of us would have. We took turns saying grace each night. But then I noticed they had something that was very unique to them. They prayed after the meal. I thought that was very strange. For a couple weeks, I went along with it, and I guess that it had something to do with their ancestry or whatever it was. And after finally a couple weeks, I finally got the gumption to ask, why do you pray not just at the beginning of the meal, but at the end of the meal? What is that about? And the guy said this, the professor said this, Jeremy, we pray at the beginning of the meal to recognize, for the Lord to bless the food, but we pray at the end to return our thanks. Every meal, they did that and still do that. What they were doing is just like the elderly man walking on his way to the village store to get his food. So here at Peace, let us not follow Victor's example, as awesome as that is and how bright and creative as he was to get quarters. What I mean by that is this. Let's not work as hard as we can getting quarters so that we can get Whoppers and Big Macs and vegetables or whatever it may be so that we can just make more money and eat more and just go through a cycle. Let's stop. Like the crowd in Matthew 14, and crown Jesus King as the one who provides for us. Let's follow the example of the elderly man that made that walk every day. Let's stop and recognize the one who provides all that we need in life. Amen.